Fury. Well, we have two totally contrasting papers, if you like. We have Martin looking at the approaches to conversion, tracking origins, some prehistoric, some new introductions, and I'm sure Martin would be prepared. Perhaps both speakers would like to sit up front, would be prepared to answer questions on that. And of course, Ori's paper about newly settled lands and people perhaps using the adoption of Christianity as a way to unify or produce a unifying identity for the settlers, but more as a political and social, from a political social aspect rather than a strictly religious one. And this really excites me. This is brilliant. So it's, you know, there are just so many different aspects to the introduction of Christianity, be they political, economic, or be they strictly religious. It's something that's absolutely wide open, and I'm not going to take up time because we can we have an extra 5 minutes, I think, but we should be okay. I just wanted to throw in my pennyworth, if you like, just giving a sort of a contrasting aspect on some of the Irish material, but I'm only going to take 2 minutes to do it, don't worry. From a base of 160 burial sites dating from the 1st to the 8th century AD, some of the statistics coming out of that are that 34 of these sites, that's 21% approximately, are clearly familial ancestral burial sites located in prehistoric. We heard about some of these yesterday, sites that are located, or burials that are located in prehistoric burial sites for use as ancestral markers, graves. We call them furta in Ireland, but other people have different names for them, which went out of use in the 8th century. But it's only a small proportion. It's not, they're not all over the place. The interesting thing is that 66 sites in this database, it's roughly 41%, are the graveyards are associated with settlement in the form of industrial activity, milling, drying kilns, metalworking, which reminds me of Martin's site very much so, but no evidence for a church in these particular sites, and it's not habitation, it's occupation, but people are living somewhere else. So it struck me when I was looking at your Port Mahomet one that the similarity in that, even though you do have a church. The really curious thing about all of this is that we only have 11 sites, it's only 7%, which we can positively identify as being ecclesiastical in nature. Now, that's not to say we don't have lots of monastic sites in Ireland, we do. They haven't been excavated from a burial point of view, except Clonmacnoise, which is interesting. But the sites I'm talking about are sites which were excavated as burial sites which have evidence for a church. There are three others which might have possible evidence. This is not surprising because, as I say, we have plenty or well-known, unrecognisable large monastic sites. These were preserved or reserved is a better word. Burial in these sites was reserved for people of high status, for royalty, clerics of high office, and the monastic patrons. The average person was buried elsewhere in their ancestral burial place until about the 8th century, but I'm not going to go into all that, I could talk about this forever. I just wanted to show you a little bit of contrast. But so I'm going to open, perhaps the two speakers might have something to say about each other's paper,